If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 54. I am going to read all the way to verse 62. And the Word of God says, "Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance." I want us to remember that. Peter was following at a distance. "And then they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, 'This man also was with him.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, 'Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are talking about.' And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the Lord saying of the Lord how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly." Can we pray real quick? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the things that you want us to remember in your word. I ask, Lord, as you speak this morning through your word and through the Holy Spirit, I ask, Father, that you use the words that I say today and just take over. I ask, Lord, for our hearts to be ready for this message, for our minds and our perspectives to be ready for this message. Help us, O God, today. Lord, we lean on you at this moment, asking that you have your way. Pour out your spirit upon us. Lord, we just ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I do have a question after reading a text like this. Have you ever said something you wish you could take back? Have you ever done something afterward and thought, "I wish I didn't do that"? As a matter of fact, you might be saying, "Why did I do that? I wish I handled that differently. I wish I never said that. I wish I never placed myself in that environment." Maybe for us in our context, maybe it's because it was a moment of compromise. Maybe it was because we were full of anger. Maybe it was because fear encroached in our lives. And maybe it's simply because of silence, or maybe it's because of denial or things of that nature. Or it's just the decision made under pressure that caused us to move in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. And then afterward, the weight of regrets, it just kind of weighs heavy on you. Has anybody else been there, or is it just me? Because I know I've been there. I believe that is exactly what we're seeing in this story with Peter. Because what we are reading in verse 22, in chapter 22, is one of Peter's worst moments. As a matter of fact, this is not Peter preaching boldly in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. This is not Peter taking a step of faith with Jesus. This is Peter breaking. He is breaking. And the painful part is Jesus warned him beforehand. You see, in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, it says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat." You see, Jesus is basically telling Peter, there is about to be a spiritual attack on your life that is going to shake the foundation of your faith. But Peter, within that moment, because in the context of where he was close to Jesus, he was close to his disciples, he was close to the people he knew, he said, "No, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to fall like that. I'm going to be with you." Because of the proximity that he had with Christ, it was hard for him to believe that he would succumb to denying Jesus. He wasn't in that at that moment. But Peter cannot see himself failing until pressure arises, right? Until pressure arrives, that's when Peter gets to understand what's really about to happen. And I think for our first thought, especially in the context of today and in our lives, we, through the reading of the text, we have to understand that this, that we need to be careful of following Jesus at a distance. Yeah? We need to be careful of following Jesus at a distance. You see, in Luke chapter 2, 22, verse 54, it allows us to see they seized him being Jesus, and led him away, and Peter was following at a distance. Man. So what we're seeing here is Jesus is arrested violently, dragged away, he's humiliated, he's being mocked, but Peter is able to see Jesus. He's seeing the brutality of it all. He's seeing everything unfold before his very own eyes. He sees the Messiah he believed in would reign forever. He sees him up in a position in a vulnerable place. And in that vulnerable place, Luke says, Peter, he was following at a distance. You see, still able to see Jesus far enough and recognize who Jesus is, but maybe distant enough to make that decision to deny who he is. I don't know if anybody has ever been in a place where we have been able to see Jesus or what Jesus is trying to teach us or lead us to do, but maybe because of our proximity in our relationship, in our heart posture with who he is, maybe the decision to deny where he wants us to walk into gets in the way. You see, he's close enough to still see Jesus, but distant enough to protect himself if needed. You see, that is such a spiritually dangerous place for Peter to be, but can I reiterate for us, that's a very spiritually dangerous place for us to be too, right? You see, because many people today, we can say that we follow Jesus, but sometimes if we're being honest, some of us might be following him at a distance. What do I mean by that? Meaning close enough for Christian identity, close enough for maybe church attendance, but maybe distant in how we preserve our comfort, avoid surrender, protect our reputation, keep control over situations, maybe distant from Jesus. You know, it can happen, and sometimes it's overtly, but sometimes, and most of the times, in our Christian perspective, sometimes it's subtly, right? It happens slowly. And how can it happen slowly? Sometimes it's through things that we have gotten out of the habit of. Something like maybe neglected prayer, or compromise, or can I just say one of the big ones? Because I think we saw it in Peter, disappointment. Disappointment can be that thing that kind of brings us to a place where we become distant with Jesus. You have to understand, Peter was looking at Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus move. He saw him heal people. He saw him walk on water. He saw him do some amazing things. But when he saw Jesus, when Peter saw Jesus in that vulnerable position, he began to be distant. It's kind of like in our scenario, sometimes when disappointment happens, when we start thinking on things, we start observing things in our own personal life that we want to see happen a certain way, and it doesn't. Maybe because we've been praying, maybe because we've been having faith, maybe because we've been believing God for something, and he just doesn't move the way that we would like for him to move. There's disappointment that just sets in. And through that disappointment, sometimes we can take a step back. Sometimes we can become people who believe in isolation at a moment or become spiritually exhausted because maybe we've been praying for the longest time, believing God for the longest time, but it hasn't happened. But because it hasn't happened the way that we want it, we become emotionally and spiritually exhausted. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, I hear you. But I do believe that it can be something that causes drift. Drift away from who we need. Drift away from the Savior, drift away from the King. And that can be a problem because James chapter 4, verse 8 gives us something to think on. Because it shares with us, if we draw near to God, He draws near to you. He will draw near to us. And I think one of the things is this. He was in a position in a campfire. They put together a fire, and something came to my head when he put together a fire. It's interesting he was in the wrong, Peter being in the wrong camp, right? And he sits around this crowd. But if you think about a fire, especially in what we're talking about, distance, it's interesting when we move away from the fire into a colder environment that we remove ourselves from the heat or the warmth or the depths that comes from the fire, right? Has anybody ever noticed that? So for us, there's a funny joke in the staff between the staff and me because I have a space heater in my office, and that space heater, unfortunately, is used year-round. So it's used in all the four seasons, even though in Texas we may have basically two. It is used. So even when the air conditioner is so greatly working, I will put on that space heater to bring warmth to my body. Amen. But I've noticed that when I walk away from that space heater, it gets really cold really fast. But in this context, whenever we walk away from who the Lord is, when we walk away from His covering, when we walk away from His goodness, when we walk away from what He wants us to walk into, we're walking into an environment that may not be pleasing to Him, but not only that, it will not be good for our very own soul, right? But in this context, I need to make sure we understand, and I'm very clear about this, but our second thought is this. Sometimes, if you notice, he moved into this camp, in this campfire with a group of people, wrong circles can shape weak convictions. Let me hear that again. Let me say that again. Wrong circles can shape weak convictions. And I think that can be observant in all of our lives in some capacity or another. Because in verse 55 through 56, it says, Peter sat down among them. He sat down with a group of people that were sitting down just to watch and observe what they were talking and heckling Jesus. And they were in the midst. Peter was in the midst. Now he sits in a hostile crowd. Understand this. The night before, he was sitting close to Jesus. He was saying, I'm going to be there when you are there going through things. I am not going to walk away from your side. I will never deny you. And then finally, we find ourselves in a situation. He has now moved into a hostile crowd against Jesus. You have to understand, he no longer is beside the disciples either at this moment. He is surrounded around people who are comfortable rejecting who Jesus is. And eventually, the environment around Peter starts affecting the courage within Peter. The thing that he said the other night is no longer something he is saying at that moment. And truthfully, some of us have placed ourselves in circles that can compromise or bring to a weakened view of our personal conviction and what God has called us into. Is that, can we all say that we've fallen into that place? Because I know I have. We can get into a place where these convictions can be weakened because of the circle or the environment or the things that we listen to are just around us. And for some of us, maybe it is our work environment. Maybe it's the people around the work environment. Maybe for those who are just in school and now in summer, maybe it's the school environment, the people that you place yourself around. Maybe it's the friend groups. Maybe it's the relationships that we present ourselves into. Maybe it's the online voices that we allow to inundate in every day or in everyday content. It's just sometimes these unhealthy places that we can put ourselves into, that we can find our place of chipped away convictions. See, like I said before, this is not always overtly, but sometimes it can be subtly. But environments can sometimes slowly normalize the distance between us and our Heavenly Father, if we're not careful. Peter sat around the wrong fire, let's just say that. And eventually the crowd's fear became louder than Peter's loyalty at that moment. It's kind of like this. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, bad company ruins good morals. It's kind of like the psalmist says in Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And some of us, unfortunately, get into a place where we might isolate ourselves from everything God has placed before us that would be something that gives life to us, right? Sometimes we isolate ourselves from those things. And if I can be real with you, some of us, there are certain places that we know can be good. And sometimes we isolate ourselves from the good, godly friendships that we have. Sometimes we can get so disappointed with the things that are happening that we isolate ourselves from maybe our church family, maybe from our life groups, maybe from accountability. We start to isolate ourselves, maybe from going to a group that would hold you up in prayer, or maybe we isolate ourselves, and unfortunately a lot of us may fall into this trap, isolate ourselves from God. We walk away from the things that we know that we need to do in prayer, in our word. We walk away from the fruit that comes with His Spirit. We walk away sometimes from those attributes. You see, Peter at this very moment was very vulnerable because he was isolated. And I think for a lot of us, there are places that we can get into, environments that we can get into that can chip away from our relationship with the Lord to the point where we begin to sometimes isolate. We can isolate from the things that are healthy for us and get comfortable with the things that may eventually hurt us, right? And you know, the thing is, our thought number three is sometimes fear will make comfort more important than our convictions. Fear can make comfort more important than our convictions. You see, if we take a look, and if we really remember verse 57 through 60, you saw the line of events that happened. Peter was sitting amongst the crowd, but then they were able to identify who Peter was, and they basically were saying, wait a minute, this is the guy. This is the guy who was walking with Jesus. I think I remember him. And Peter was like, no, that ain't me. Then another individual or two additional individuals said, hey, this guy was walking with Jesus, and he denied it, and he straight up lied. And here's the thing, he not only lied, but his heart posture did something unique. It began not only the night before, it affirmed who Jesus is, but the next moment, it disassociates with Jesus. You see, it is interesting what happens when fear overtakes our conviction. Peter lies to preserve his comfort, to preserve safety, to preserve himself. And honestly, many denials today are subtle, but sometimes we deny Jesus through our silence. We deny Jesus through our compromise. We deny Jesus through hiding convictions. We deny Jesus through fear of rejection, through prioritizing acceptance over obedience. Sometimes we just fall into those places because we are human. We are in need of a Savior at every given moment. We need Jesus. But the moment we take a step aside from Jesus is the moment that we are able to offer ourselves up to the carnal nature of this world and to the nature of the enemy of our soul, the devil who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We are putting ourselves in that environment. And in this text, I hope we can get to a place where we say, I don't want to be at a distance from you, God. I don't want to be at a distance with you, God. I need you. Every day, I need you. I don't want to play any games in my walk with you anymore. I want to be of you. When people see me, I want them to see you. But there are times in our lives, if we're being honest, that they might see this Peter right here. There might be this moment where they see this Peter in front of them. And you know, the interesting thing is Peter was trying to preserve how people saw him. Peter was trying to preserve the nature of not being put in where Jesus was at that moment. And you know, it's interesting, the Proverbs teaches in chapter 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man lays a snare, it lays a trap for us if we're not careful. And even Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it shares with us, if we're still trying to please man, I could not be a servant of Christ. And that's what Peter was doing at this moment. He was preserving his image to please what other people could see. So whether you're at the school place, the workplace or school, we have to remember not to shrink back. Don't shrink back from what the Lord has called you into. Step forward in it. I hope we can learn from this example of his failure that, hey, let's keep conscious mind. And the conscious mind is this. God told Peter beforehand that the devil, he is working to do something, to sift you like wheat. He wants to bring attack amongst you. And I think we all need to acknowledge that. We understand that this is happening, but you have to also understand that there is a prayer environment that we all need in our daily life, in our daily walk. And in that prayer need, there are moments where the enemy wants to attack and destroy and dismantle and do all kinds of things. But if we stay in lockstep with who he is, even though things may not work the way we want it to, even though the thing that we're praying for may not come out the way we're thinking or seeing it might be, we just know that there is a Savior, there is a King, there is a God that is with us, that is for us at that moment when we pray. Amen? It is like when we stand close to him, we understand through that James, he stands close to us. We draw close to him, he draws close to us. So as we step into a text like this, we need to understand that God is still around. I'm really trying not to preach right now, but I might just preach. But here's the thing. Whenever we look at this, and this text is so incredible, it shows us in verse 61 through 62, the rooster crows, right? We understand the failure has been made. And here's the thing. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, is what it says. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And sometimes we can look at a text like this and say, oh my goodness, Jesus was saying, I told you so. No, but I don't think that's what it meant at all. I don't think that's what it meant at all. As a matter of fact, he saw the disappointment. He knows the disappointment in Peter's heart. He knows the mistake he made. He understands what's going on in the condition of Peter's heart. So what does Peter do? He runs carrying his grief, carrying his disappointment, carrying his shame, carrying his regret, carrying his failure. But guess what God does? He looks at him and he stands there and says, I'm still going to take the cross for you. I'm still going to die for you. I'm still going to look at the worst mistake of your life, and I'm still going to position myself to carry that cross. I'm still going to be there when you have failed in the most miserable way, the worst kind of way, and say, I still love you. I still see you. I still believe in the work that comes through the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is so much power in the things that God has done on the cross for us, and it helps us remember, even in failure, Jesus still went to the cross. He still went to the cross. Well, you can look at a text like this and say, man, Peter, what were you doing, man? You were with the Savior. You were with him. How could you fail like that? Jesus looks at him. In my perspective, I'm like, man, he told you so. But in God's perspective, I'm still going to lay my life down for you. I'm still going to die for you. I'm still going to resurrect for you. I'm still going to ascend to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. I'm still going to intercede for you. I'm still going to put things in your path so that it can open doors so that you can see who Jesus is more. He's still going to work. He's still going to do it. And here's the thing, as many times as we look at the failures of our life, we can take a look, especially at the story of Peter, and say this, man, he did carry a lot of shame. He did carry a lot of failure. He carried that denial, and he wept. He wept bitterly, meaning his heart posture understood the nature and the gravity of what he had done. But we understand a few hours later, as Peter runs with his grief and all that, Jesus walks with the cross to take on the shame, to take on the failure, to take on the denial, to take on the weakness, to take on the rebellion, to take on the iniquity, to take on the sin, to take on the habits, to take on the mess, to take on the things that you think are out of your control, which sometimes they are out of your control, but he's able, he is willing to provide himself, his goodness, his gospel message through the working of his Holy Spirit. He has taken on the worst mistake of Peter, and he can take the worst mistake that you have gone through, and he can present himself as Savior in your life, as King in your life, as Lord in your life, and begin to create a redemptive story in your life. If you ever lose hope, if you ever feel that you're in a place that you failed so much, God is able to bring that forgiveness and that reconciliation and that redemption to you. He is there. It's kind of like this Romans chapter 5 verse 8. It says it like this. Paul, he's preaching to the Romans and he's basically saying, but God shows his love for us that in that while we were still sinners, Christ. Well, let's try that again. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So really, at the end of the day, it's like this. If the things that you're walking through at this very old moment right now that you feel that you cannot get out of, that you feel that you have failed out of this whole life of Christianity, we have to understand God died for that. And until he comes back, because we have to recognize the moment that, yes, one day he will return. But until that day comes, we have this opportunity to go to him and to ask for forgiveness and to repent of our sins, to repent of the things that we have failed in. And by his graciousness and his goodness and his love and his power and the severe love that he has for you, he is always willing. He's always willing to hear you. He's always willing to save you. He's always willing to rescue you. He's always willing to pull you out of those things that you have fallen into. He's willing and he is able. And I think the question for us today, as we look on our lives, if we take a look at our hearts and our heart posture at this moment, I think maybe today some of us can realize that, hey, you know, I may be following Jesus from a distance. Maybe it's holy, maybe because we have not received Jesus as King in our lives, or maybe it is because of a situation that may have happened. Maybe we're walking at a distance or something. We have been following potentially at a distance. Maybe some of us recognize we have been sitting around the wrong fire. We have been sitting around the wrong environment, listening to the wrong people, listening to the wrong message, listening to things that really are deterring us from who Christ has called us to be. Maybe it is the conditions of your workplace. Maybe it's the conditions of the school environment. Maybe it's the conditions of what we are listening to online or on the TV. I don't know, but maybe that place, that environment is shifting your perspective to become more and more distant. Maybe fear has gotten in the way where comfort has become more important than conviction. The comfort of our lives. Maybe we're assessing that right now. Jesus knew Peter would fail. Jesus knows that you and I will fail. He knew it. He knows it. And still, Jesus chose the cross. Jesus chose the cross for you, for me, for all those who are not in this sanctuary right now. He chose the cross. And that means the mercy of Christ is greater than the worst moment of our lives. The grace that he has abounds in the worst areas in our heart. And today, with a text like this, I just want to ask the question, are we following Jesus at a distance? Have we allowed these environments to compromise our conviction? Have we allowed comfort to become center stage and deter us from the things of the Lord? I'm here to share with you, if you found yourself in a place like that, today is a day where we can repent, ask the Lord's leadership in our lives, ask the Lord to help us through, because by his grace, he has given us this unique person who lives inside of each and every one who have been bought with a price, named the Holy Spirit, and he is one who can help and he can guide you. He is in you. He can live through you, even in these conditions of your life. But as we grapple with this text today, I just want to ask those questions, because no mistake, no failure, no problematic issue that you have walked through can keep you from his love if you desire to draw yourself close to him. He will be there. Nothing. And that's the good news, right? Through it all, we have a God that sees us and that loves us, right? That's the good news, right? That we have a God that loves us in the midst of our biggest mess. That's the good news, right? That he can look at us and lock eyes with us, and we can deny certain things or certain areas that he's calling us into, but yet he still took the cross for us. That's the good news. Can I get an amen on that? That is the good news for us this morning. And for all of us who are walking in certain elements of our lives, I just open up those questions. Do we receive this word?
Yes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for an illustration in the scriptures like this that reminds us of the nature of humanity, the imperfection of humanity. We thank you that you are able to see us in the midst of us, and I'm so grateful to you that you sent the Savior Jesus to die for us because of the condition of our mindsets or our brokenness. I say thank you, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord, I just pray, Father, as we do an inventory on our hearts, as we do an inventory on the things that are going on in our lives and the perspectives that we have drawn into, gotten close to, maybe. Maybe it's distant from you. Maybe it's the failure that we've walked in. The failure response, the failure of how we've lived, the failure of certain things that we've tried to stay away from but can't get away from. As you look in the condition of our heart, I just pray the reminder to our church family this morning, even to myself, you still took the cross. You're willing and able to meet us where we are. Still allow for an opportunity to turn the direction, to repent and say, I'm walking a different way, because we're allowing your Spirit, oh God, to lead us that direction. So at this very moment, if there are things in our hearts, Lord, maybe we're not thinking about them, maybe because they've been so subtle, maybe we do know exactly what they are, I ask, Lord, for those things that we are not sure of, would you reveal it to our hearts? Would you reveal it to our perspectives, the things that are going on? And Lord, would you begin to work in those areas Lord, there are things that are happening that are subtle that we may not be aware of. Bring it to our remembrance. But there are things that are happening because we are just potentially addicted or in a habit or in a rhythm of it. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you speak to us and remind us that you are still the one who took the cross and you're still the one who wants to pull us away from these things. And may it be by the power of your Holy Spirit that you bring us around the right people with the right perspectives, with the right prayer lives, with the right tools to guide us in these moments so that we don't walk in denial or we don't walk in this place that Peter walked, where we don't create a habit of it. But Lord, we walk in the true newness of life that comes through your word, through your salvation, through the work that you did on the cross. I pray, Lord, for those who may not have a relationship with you. Maybe the conversation of distance is real because we just have been so distant in our whole life with you. And this morning, lay it be a moment that we can recognize we need a Savior and we need a Savior today. And for those of you who are out there that may need a Savior, I want to share with you, he took the cross for you. He died for you. He loves you. And it is available, his forgiveness, his grace. There's nothing so big, nothing so horrible that he can't forgive. He is willing. He's always willing. He took it willingly, the cross. I just share with you, if this is a moment where you're looking at your heart and you say, I need a Savior, I would ask that you find one of us, Pastor Justin, who is speaking up here, myself. We'll be here to share next steps with you, but for those who need that this morning, we make ourselves available for that conversation. But Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Speak truth in our minds and help us to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, and when we fail, help us to remember you still took the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.